It's time to get in the loop with LPS, the official podcast of Liberty Public Schools. From the latest school and district news, updates on various district hot topics, and opportunities to meet all of those that help make LPS great, In the Loop with LPS is here to provide yet another opportunity for us to stay connected with you. So let's get started and send you to the longtime director of communications with Liberty Public Schools and your host of In the Loop with LPS, Dallas Ackerman.
Hello again, everyone. We are back for another week of In the Loop with LPS. It's the official podcast of Liberty Public Schools, and I am your host, Dallas Ackerman. I am the director of communications here in Liberty Public Schools, and down the stretch they come. We are just days away from the end of this 23-24 school year. And as you probably know, if you follow us in Liberty Public Schools, you know that it is tis the season for celebrations. And we have had so many exciting announcements and surprises, and really none bigger than we had just a few weeks ago. And that would be the announcement of our Liberty Public Schools 2024-2025 Teacher of the Year for the entire district in LPS. And we are so glad to be joined by her. Her name is Erin Ramsey. She is a math teacher from Liberty High School, and she is beaming as I look across the table at her here as we record this here this afternoon. And Erin cannot... thank you enough for making time to join me as part of maybe one of our last In the Loop podcasts
of course.
The school year, but also congratulations
Thank
on this
you.
Amazing honor. I guess the first question would have to be, were you surprised?
So surprised. I didn't even know that we had moved into that part of the process, and I had no expectations whatsoever that I would even be considered. I just do what I need to do every day, and I don't feel like it's anything super special. So yeah, it was a really, really big surprise.
So we posted kind of how it all played out. It was on an early release Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
So this surprise, because that's really something that every year when we make these surprises for not only the Teacher of the Year, but then our support, who we also just named earlier in the week at the time we were recording this, but it's always trying to figure out how we're going to pull this off.
Right.
Of course, I talked to Dr. Sharp a few days before, and he said it seemed to make the most sense to do it on the early release because you have a kind of a standing staff
uh-huh.
meeting in the black box. And one thing leads to another. I wind up in the very hot Blue Jay mascot
I bet.
Suits. To come in the theater. I think Dr. Sharp even solicited guesses to the staff.
Right.
Who's in the suit? Who did you think was in the suit?
Well, I guessed Dr. Tucker.
You did.
I would have been really surprised if it was him, but that was my guess.
Yeah. And then, poof, here I come.
Right.
When did you start to... What maybe gave you the hint that this may be about you?
Well... I still didn't have an inkling even when you removed the mask and we saw that it was you. I still didn't really know what it was. And then I think maybe wires got a little bit crossed because Dr. Sharp then said, let's open the garage and see who's behind the door. And most of my entire family was standing there and kids were asking me about it in class. And I said, well, you guys know I have no chill, as they would say. And so I saw the door open. And I just said, that's my whole family. I was so confused. And even then, in my brain, I was thinking, well, I must have won an award. But it still didn't click that that's what it was. And then Dr. Tucker came and talked, and they changed the slide. And, yeah, I was just floored. It was very unexpected.
So what I always like to do at the kind of the front end of these interviews, mm-hmm. regardless of the guest, and I know there's a lot of folks out there, outside of maybe Liberty High School,
mm-hmm.
that may not know the story of Erin Ramsey. So tell us a little bit about yourself, kind of going back to when you were a young girl growing up.
Well, I am from the Kansas City area originally. My family was in Blue Springs, and we moved to the Bay Area, California, right before my 8th birthday. And so I lived out there until I was 25 years old. I did my first 2 years teaching in public schools in San Jose, California, went through college in California, and then we kind of started migrating back. I think when the economy really took a slump, my dad is in construction and new home construction. And so nobody was building in California. And because all of our extended family is back here and kind of our roots are here, we all made our way back. I have a large family. I'm one of four siblings and I'm the oldest. And so my parents said, we're moving, and everybody else was on board. And I was the only one that said, no, I'm an adult, gosh darn it. I don't have to go. And I made it 1 year out there by myself and moved back here the very next year. Yeah, but growing up, again, being the oldest of four, I was kind of a natural leader right from the beginning, the mother hen herding everybody around. And they'd ask you when you were little, what do you want to be when you grow up? And it was always a teacher. That was always my answer. Now, did I always know that I wanted to teach math? Absolutely not. And if that's what someone had told high school me, even college me, that I was going to end up doing, I would have been very surprised by that answer. I studied elementary education. I studied musical theater. I've been all over the board before I landed on math. But boy, am I so sure that that's what I wanted to do.
Yeah, just getting started here with our conversation with the newly named, the newly crowned LPS Teacher of the Year, Erin Ramsey from Blue Jay Country, Liberty
right.
High School. And so you come here, tell us about the whole interview process. Were you debating on several school districts, schools?
So when I first moved back, it was like, I need a job right now. I was moving halfway across the country and I was very concerned that I was not going to get a job. And I ended up taking a job teaching seventh grade in the Fort Osage School District, which I surprisingly really loved. I have never been more terrified for a first day of school than when I knew I was going to be teaching seventh graders, because I've never worked with that age group before. And after that first day, I just thought, well, they're just freshmen in smaller bodies. Like, they're exactly the same. And I really enjoyed that year, but I just knew high school was where I was meant to be. I like being involved with the activities and different things. And so after 1 year there at Fort Osage, I interviewed for an open position here. And I got to interview with Dr. Jacobs. It was the year that he wasn't head principal, but North hadn't opened yet. He was kind of in that transition role. Yep, it was. And so I got to interview with Dr. Jacobs, and then he walked me right across the street, and I interviewed with Dee Rosecrans, and that was it. Then I was hired, and I've been here for, this is the end of my 15th year, so I really feel like in a lot of ways I've grown up here in Liberty. I was 26 years old when I started here, and I'll let you do the math on how old I am now, but you know, I really came into adulthood.
Can you educate me on math?
Carry the one. Yeah.
So you're finishing up 15 years. That means you're going to get one of those plaques here in a couple months.
Yes, I will.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Years of service plaques. look forward to that. So yeah, that was actually one of my questions, and it was a very short question. Why math?
So it's kind of a long answer. I always thought that I wanted to teach elementary school. That was always what I was drawn to. I liked the colorfulness of the primary. And I remember in seventh grade, we had kind of a choice project where we had to choose a topic and present it in a way that we chose. And I chose to decorate the bulletin boards in my science teacher's classroom because that's all I thought. I couldn't wait to have a classroom of my own to decorate, even at 12 years old. And so I started my degree in elementary education, and I did that for almost 2 years. Now, in California, the system is a little bit different. The certification process is a little bit different. So every elementary ed, we major in liberal studies, and you have to choose an area of concentration. So you come out elementary certified plus through middle school in your area of concentration. And I chose math simply because it was always easy for me. I used to complain to my mom when I was younger that, why is this the thing I'm good at? Because this stinks. I hate this. It's boring. And so when I got into, I didn't really know at the time, but I graduated from Chico State University in California. And it is very well known in the state of California for its math education program specifically. I didn't know that's what I was going to end up doing. But getting in with those math teachers and discussing teaching strategy, and I had for the first time not just, hey, memorize these rules and crank out these formulas. Your answer is either right or it's wrong. But they were explaining why it works and why this is important and how the pieces come together. And I just thought, oh my gosh, why did no one ever teach it to me like this? This is interesting. This is engaging. And it wasn't very long after I started taking those classes that I started choosing more electives in that area. And eventually I switched my major to math with the goal of becoming a high school math teacher, because I just thought, you know, I don't want to be that teacher that taught it to me the way that I learned it, because it wasn't effective. I didn't enjoy it. I was never encouraged or pushed, especially as a young female, to look into this field or any of the career paths that existed within the field of mathematics. And so, you know, that's kind of what I've aspired to be, is the teacher that I wish I would have had when I was younger.
You know, something I was thinking just before you came up as I was jotting down a few questions is, you know, you have a lot of students out there at various levels, whether it be elementary, middle, high, struggling with math.
Right.
What advice would you give not only a student, but even parents?
I think one of the biggest things is just that anyone can do it. And I firmly believe that. The number of times I hear from people, well, the math gene doesn't run in our family, or the first, you know, I teach advanced pre-calc, and the first thing I hear from kids, especially the girls in my class, is they'll tell me on the first day, math is not my strong subject. And I say, hold on just a second, because you don't get to this class by this not being a strong subject for you. And I think it all just comes down to mindset. Nobody would walk into a room and proudly proclaim, like, I never learned to read. I'm just bad at reading. I don't have the reading gene. But somehow in society, it's socially acceptable to have that approach when it comes to math. People tend to say, you know, oh, I'm not very good at math, as like a badge of honor, almost as a solidarity. And I think that kids start hearing that from such a young age and they internalize that. And so I just think, for me, it's so much about attitude and mindset of, especially when we see some of the gifted kids who get pushed into these advanced classes that maybe they're not interested in. They expect that if I look at it and don't immediately know what to do, then I'm bad at it. And math is so different than that. There's so much more creativity involved that kids don't realize with the problem solving. And, you know, you may have to try something three or four different ways before you find a strategy that's going to work. And it's having those strategies and the grit and the resilience to keep digging in at it is what makes you good at math. Not just having everything memorized, but it's that openness and the willingness to kind of dig in and get messy. The path to math is not straightforward. I always thought it was memorize the process. You're either right or you're wrong. And like I said, I kind of had my eyes opened in college that there's so much more to it than that.
Yeah.
And that's what I like to try to share with parents and students.
It's always so fun to read some of the nomination forms throughout all of our employee recognition process. And you've gained such admiration by your peers at Liberty High School. I know people don't like to brag upon themselves, but like, what would you consider your biggest strengths in the classroom?
Oh, gosh. I mean, I think that obviously I would say my content knowledge is a strong background. I think when kids want to know where this fits into the broader picture, I have that answer. When they want to know, why is this important to me? Why do I care about this? You know, I can give them several examples of how. I also think that it's just kind of being able to believe so strongly that they can all do it, that they start to believe it themselves, because it's just a thing that, you know, it's just important to me to constantly radiate that confidence on their behalf, because they don't come in to my classes usually with that level of confidence. Even in these upper level courses, they're still coming in and saying, this is my worst subject. Well, I would beg to differ. But, you know, I think that that is really, really one of the biggest things, is being able to, Mrs. Herman always tells me that it's infectious, that I'm so excited about the subject because I like to geek out about it, that the kids can kind of, they can't help but kind of get silly and get into it with me. And so I think that is, you know, I've had several students that would come back and say, you know, I took this class thinking this would be my math class, last math class, and I would move on to something else entirely, and now I want to be an engineer.
Wow.
And there's no greater compliment to that than me. That's just like the cherry on top of every school year, is knowing, you know, I got a couple.
Yeah.
That's where the future is right now. AI, computers, engineering, all of that. We need people who can do that. And I just hope that the tide is kind of shifting there with that.
Great stuff. Again, as we talk about students, let's shift to your peers.
Mm-hmm.
Something that stood out to me also within some of the content that was submitted was, you know, the fact that you have really taken a lot of young teachers mm-hmm. under your wing and been a mentor.
Mm-hmm.
Something you're passionate about?
Absolutely. Yes, that has, you know, that's always been kind of a career goal of mine, is to be able to coach new teachers and as they come in, because I think any teacher who's been in this long enough knows how hard those first couple of years are, and getting your feet underneath you. And you can go to faculty meetings and it sounds like everybody has everything together, and sometimes you need one person to tell you, like, focus on one thing, let's pick one thing that we're going to get good at this year. Or, you know, just to have that support of, I'm drowning in paperwork, I don't know how to get out of my mountain of grading, I don't know, and just ways that you can be more efficient, because that burnout and those types of things, that's why we lose so many teachers in those first few years. And I benefited greatly from some really, really great mentors when I first started teaching. You know, my first year here at Liberty High School was my third year teaching overall, and getting to work with Dr. Jacobs and Dr. Adams. And I just feel like I've had so much support and so many people who were so passionate about the same thing and poured into me, that I just feel like that's really important for me to be able to pay it forward and pass that on to the next group.
Well, and you know, Erin, as we talk about that, and I don't think it's any secret, and I was at Liberty High now 15 years ago and mm-hmm. know a lot of those folks, and know that many of them are getting closer and closer to retirement. There's going to be a big turnover in staff, and just the importance of your role as far as being you and others being big mentors to get that to get that new blood in
there. Right. It's big shoes to fill, but I think, you know, like I said, it was so important to me to have those people that I could reach out to and partner with and get information from without judgment, without, you know, that's the biggest thing I want people to understand, is we've all had to be there before. I always tell them the best thing about being a new teacher is you only have to do it once. So after that, we just kind of get the hang of things. But I like to be that support system, that sounding board for other people. Because I know how important that is.
Continuing our conversation with Erin Ramsey, the 24-25. Isn't that crazy when you say 25?
Yes.
How is this happening?
Yes, very much.
Good night. She's our upcoming, she's now our newly named LPS Teacher of the Year. And you talked about the rewards of teaching.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's also challenges to teaching. And I just wanted to get your take on, you know, when you first started mm-hmm. teaching, just how much different it looks now over the course of 20 years.
It sure does. I think a lot of things have changed just in our society in general, to where kids are different now when they come in. When I first started teaching, not every kid had a cell phone in their pocket. We had to go to a computer lab and use the big clunky iMacs. Gosh, this makes me sound like a dinosaur, but you know.
Hey, I'm with you.
Technology has progressed at such a rapid rate that just in, you know, a little under 20 years, the landscape has changed completely, which has brought several challenges. But at the same time, it's really expanded what we can do, the efficiency of what we can get done in a certain amount of time, the models that I can show with kids, things that we would have to spend days calculating by hand and going through data, that we can drop all that into an Excel sheet and start interpreting the results, which is really what's important. You know, it's always that kind of catch 22 yeah. where it's a blessing and a curse in a lot of ways. But yeah, it feels very different from, again, I just let go of my paper grade book like 2 years ago. So it's taken me a little while to fully get on board. But yeah, it's crazy how far it's come in such a short amount of time.
Absolutely. Let's go back. I told you before we started this recording, I loved the story and that video that we put out there about you as a little girl, uh-huh. with the baby dolls,
yep.
and you were in front of them with the chalkboard.
Yep.
Where was that at, and how did that come about?
Oh, gosh. My little sister is who should be telling this story, because she was the recipient of most of my lessons. But, yeah, I got a little Fisher-Price chalkboard when I was very small, you know, before I could write, spell, anything like that. Right, yeah. But I just loved that idea of being the teacher in front of the room, and my little sister would just sit and listen because she didn't know any better, and my dolls. And as that progressed on, that chalkboard got moved to the garage collecting dust, but I would still use it. I would go out and work my problems from school out there. I said earlier that if you had told me I would have been a math teacher, I wouldn't have believed you, but I really should have, because I was taking geometry in eighth grade. And we were doing proofs, which kids hate. They hate. But I thought was the coolest thing. And I would go out and try to come up with my own proofs in the garage and draw my own triangle and see what I could prove about it. And my dad used to always tease me, nerd alert, whenever you would come out to the garage. But I think it was always there. I just needed the right person to kind of nudge me in that direction. But yeah, I can't remember ever considering doing anything else than being a teacher. It's always been top of my mind.
Love it. I told you before we went on, I do want to mix things up.
Okay.
We always like to mix it up and ask you, we call them three random questions, and they're completely random, although they are somewhat timely.
Okay.
And of course, we're approaching... cue up the band, summer break.
Very close.
Right around the corner as we're now into May. So at least a couple of these are related to what's ahead in the uh-huh. coming weeks. So question one, if you're ready.
Yep.
What will you be doing on day one of summer vacation?
Anybody who knows me well knows how much I enjoy sleeping. So I will
Who
be
like
sleeping
sleep?
In for sure. Might even take a nap again later that afternoon. I will probably be sitting outside in May when it's a little bit cooler still, reading my book,
Hopefully
enjoying,
not raining.
Of course. Yeah, enjoying a nice coffee and just kind of decompressing is what I'll be doing in those first few days.
So I am married to a teacher, an mm-hmm. elementary teacher, so I get this, but a question that often comes up, I'll ask our reigning teacher of the year, do teachers get as excited about summer break than students?
I mean, I think the answer is supposed to be no, but yes, we absolutely do. But I will say I'm one of the weird ones that I start getting anxious to come back at the end.
Yeah.
So I definitely look forward to the break. I like slowing down. I like being able, like I said, to just kind of decompress after you know, a high stress kind of job. We're always worrying about the kids, worrying about what needs to get done. And so just to be able to slow down a little bit is always really nice. And that to me is one of the best things about this career is we start over every year. I don't lose my connections with those kids. You know, the last day I always tell them, you're moving on, but you're mine forever now. And I do have kids that'll reach out from their college calculus class and say, hey, is there a video that you could direct me to? Because I'm having a hard time. Or could you send me those notes that we did last year that you told me to save that I didn't?
Yeah.
I'm definitely looking forward to it. These last weeks, especially with seniors, are really fast paced, a lot going on, events all the time. So yes, the break is very welcome.
I actually kind of subtly worked in a couple of questions that were unofficial questions, not a part of our three random questions. So I'm going to get back on task.
Okay.
As I have the the paper with the sound effects. Speaking of summer, this does not have to be somewhere you're necessarily going this summer, but your favorite vacation spot?
I really enjoy Mexico. I like the beach. I like looking at the beach from the pool. I don't like getting in the water in the ocean. I love.
Not a fan of the sand.
Not a fan of the sand. I like being in the pool. Mexico is one of my favorite places. My friends and I went to Jamaica one summer where the pool was about 10 feet from the ocean. So it was perfect. We got the best of both worlds getting to sit in the pool, but somewhere warm, sun, where I can be in the water. That's my favorite spot.
We have been fortunate here the last several years to tag along with the in-laws and go to Destin, Florida.
Oh, fun.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of the beach, the sun, and actually, did you hear Taylor Swift just included Destin, Florida in one of her newly released songs?
I did not hear that, but
We're finding a
secrets
way.
Secrets out.
We find ways to work the name Taylor Swift into the loop with LPS.
Well, she's ours now, so.
Yes, she is. Let's knock these three random questions out, and then I'm sure we'll have a couple more as we wrap up here with the Teacher of the Year in Liberty Public Schools. How's that sound, by the way?
It doesn't sound. I can't process it. I know.
You don't have a crown on.
Yeah, it still is hard to wrap my brain around that's what happened.
Well, get ready because there's a lot of events.
I know.
I'm sure we'll talk about. But so the third and final random question, and that would be the hardest thing about getting back into that school routine. August, unfortunately, I mean, it always just
it always comes back.
So
well, for me, like I said, when I get to the end of the summer, I start getting antsy to come back. I am very much a type A teacher, very organized, very on a schedule. In my own time, I'm very type B. So I don't do well with unstructured time. I need to know when lunch is going to be. Otherwise, I can get off into the weeds really fast, left to my own devices. So for me, the toughest part is actually what I think is unexpected by a lot of people is the physical toll it takes on my body. I will go the whole summer, you know, meeting with friends and doing different things, but I don't spend all day talking the way that I do when I'm teaching. I lose my voice at the end of the first week of school every single year. Your feet hurt, your back hurt because you're just not used to standing all day, moving around all day, crouching down next to desks.
And that's even starting on Wednesday.
Right.
Short first week.
Right, exactly. And it takes about 10 days for my body to fully adjust to being back. I've finally wisened up and started doing the vitamin C boosts and stuff before I come back because you spend 3 months away from all the germs and then all the kids come back and all the teachers get sick in the first couple of weeks of school. So yeah, that's physical is the biggest challenge for me coming back. It's where I like to be. So getting back into the routine, that's not the hard part for me because that's always the excitement of the new school year. But yeah, it takes a toll on your body.
This has been a blast to catch up and learn more about you. It's hard to believe we're already coming up on a half an hour.
Wow.
We've visited here.
Well, anyone who knows me knows I like to talk. Well, so that's not hard to do.
You've done fantastic and it's been great to connect again. And As I mentioned, we have several more opportunities. We'll be recognizing you. Of course, we'll have you at our board meeting coming up in May. We'll recognize you and both you and Mike Luck, who is our support employee of the year. And I don't know if you've ever, have you ever met Mike?
I have not, but I'm excited to get to.
We'll look forward to connecting. It's always
company.
A fun night
right.
to have our two employees of the year to connect. I mentioned, you know, we post this stuff out on our Facebook page and our different mm-hmm. social media platforms. Kind of the neatest message you've received in the last couple weeks since you were named Teacher of the Year.
Gosh, I have gotten quite a few. I live across the street from another teacher in the district who was also a former student. And she stopped me the other day and said, I was going to order a sign to put in your front yard because I was so excited, but I couldn't figure out how to do it. And then I've gotten two other emails from two other former students who are now teachers in the district. One of them told me that very certainly that she thought taking my class was the reason that she became a teacher. And
That's what it's that, like.
That's all there is to it there. Yeah, that's so cool. And
you mentioned when we visited, as I interviewed you in the Blue Jay outfit. I'd never done that before, and I'm sure you'd never been interviewed by a mascot.
Nope.
Wearing your school mascot costume. But something that stood out to me, you said, this is what I do, and like, mm-hmm. this is what I'm going to do.
Mm-hmm.
We see so many teachers that kind of make this natural progression
right.
into different things. Maybe it's administration, maybe
right.
it's an instructional coach,
mm-hmm.
what have you. No temptation to ever go that
route. Do you know, when I first started my career, that was definitely my plan. I wanted to be an instructional coach. I wanted to work on curriculum. That was kind of where my focus was. And I always thought, like, I'll just know when I'm done in the classroom and ready to move on to the next thing. And there even have been opportunities this year that have come up with positions that are open that people have asked me, hey, are you going to go for this? And I'm not done yet. I can't anticipate that moment where not being in the classroom is going to be more appealing to me than what I'm doing. Because I get to have the most fun, even on the hard days. The kids are the best part of the job. There's all the stuff on the back end, the grading, the planning, the whatever. But the bulk of my day, I get to spend with kids every day. And they're just fun and funny. And they're right, especially right now, wrapping up with the seniors on Tuesday. They're right on the precipice of everything that comes after that. And all of us have been in that position and know what an exciting time that is in their life, and it's just a privilege for me to get to be a part of that. So yeah, I don't have any plans to move away from that just yet.
It's so interesting because I've seen this over the last 15 years mm-hmm. I've been in this position where you see teachers progressing.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard a wise man tell me once, and as we were talking about this very thing, about oftentimes we get caught trying to chase things
right.
instead of. So many times people are kind of in their sweet spot
mm-hmm.
and then they get out of their sweet
right.
spot, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. It does. And that's kind of how I feel. Like this is what I'm good at. So
you obviously
this is what
are.
I enjoy.
You are, because you are LPS District Teacher of the Year.
Ooh.
And I know that we'll be working closely on some different things in the coming months, leading us through next school year.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we'll have the regional teacher of the year. I give the air quotes competition, but as I shared with you, you've made us proud already, and we cannot thank you enough for being a tremendous representative of Liberty Public Schools teachers.
Well, it's an honor and a very humbling experience to be recognized in that way, so I'm very grateful.
And one final comment to you: get some good sleep this summer. Relax, refresh, reboot, and we'll look forward to seeing you back to start the next school year in August.
I sure will.
She is Erin Ramsey. She's the 24-25 LPS District Teacher of the Year, so kind to join us this week as part of In the Loop. We want to thank you for listening out there, and we'll look forward to connecting with everyone again next time.
Thanks for choosing to spend a few minutes with us and getting in the loop with LPS. Don't forget, you can also stay in the loop with us by following Liberty Public Schools on our various social media platforms, including Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube, and by downloading our LPS mobile app for that mobile-friendly experience. This has been a production of the Liberty Public Schools Communications Office. For more about this podcast and all you need to know about LPS, visit our website at www.lps53.org.